I'm happy to be with you this morning as we study the Word of God, and I want to talk about how we really come to understand the Bible. We have a lot of different ideas about things, even among those in the church, and it's important to understand how God expects us to understand His Scriptures. From the standpoint of authority, we understand there are three things we need to know. First of all, those commandments. When He says, this do, we have no choice but to do what He tells us to do. On the other hand, when He says, commands us not to do something, our only hope is not to do that. We understand commands. Then there's also the idea of apostolic example. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So when we see the apostles doing something in keeping with God's command, we know that it's a good apostolic example, such as in Acts 20 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul met with the church on the Lord's Day and took the Lord's Supper. So that's an approved apostolic example. The other thing is the necessary inference. It is also the idea of divine implication. Sometimes God will say something that implies a truth that we're supposed to understand and necessarily infer. For example, the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. Matthew 22, Jesus addressed that when He told a divine implication that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When He said that statement, He implied something, and what He expected them to infer from that was that God is the God of the living. Therefore, they are not dead. They are going to be in heaven, and we're going to be there with them. Now, when we understand those three things, we can begin to understand the Bible. But even among those things that are commanded or inferred are the apostolic examples, sometimes we have to make choices. So this morning I want to talk about the Bible subject of expediency. That is, how we have a certain choice to make in some ways to be able to do what God wants us to do. And Webster's New World College Dictionary said that expediency is a suitability for a given purpose, the appropriateness to the conditions, useful for effecting a desired result, suited to the circumstances or the occasion, advantageous or convenient. Actually, the word convenient is somewhat misleading because it gives people the idea that they can just choose what they want to do. But the idea is that expediency is bound by the three things that we've already mentioned with regard to authority. So the common concept of expediency in religion is that end justifies the means. So anything that will accomplish what we think is good, whether authorized or not, is permissible. So you have this long-standing Protestant idea that if a thing is not especially condemned, I can do it. And so that would include instrumental music and those things. And others say, well, it has to be specifically mentioned in order to practice that, and that doesn't always apply. And so we have to understand that the concept is wrong. For example, a good work, we mentioned in class this morning, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, that the Word of God supplies us to every good work. If you can't find the authority for something that people are doing, it's not a good work, even though they call it a good work. And on the basis of, well, we think this is a good work. People have practiced things in churches that certainly not authorized, and we need to look at that. And so, you know, we talk about the end justifies the means. In Leviticus 10, we have the story of Nadab and Abihu, and you can read that for yourself. The law said that you are to take a fire from the altar. In the tabernacle and later in the temple, there was a fire continuously contained upon the altar. So in order to go and get fire, you have to get fire from the altar. But they didn't do that. They introduced what Leviticus 10 calls as a strange fire, that is fire that they obtained from another purpose, another place. And God condemned them for that because what they were doing was it justified the idea of fire. They had fire, and they used that fire, and it accomplished their purpose, but it was not from the right place. And so we have to learn then that I can't just make up my mind about things. I must be sure to do what God wants me to do under that authority. When we look at this then, for a thing to be expedient, as it's spoken of in the Bible, this is a Bible doctrine, for a thing to be expedient, first of all, it has to be authorized by the Word of God. Within the commandments of God, there are some expediencies or chooses that we have to make in order to best carry out that command. When authority is expressed, it must be completed to be obedient. When God says to do something, you have to complete that to obey. It's not enough just to think about it. You have to do it. Well, for example, the assembly is a commandment, not forsake the assembling of ourselves together in Hebrews 10:25. So assembly requires a place of assembly. So you have the command. The command has to be carried out, but God allows choice as to how we carry that out. Do we assemble in a house or a building or in a cave, as some of the early disciples did, or even in the temple, as the early church in Jerusalem met in the temple? And so there's expediency, there's choice as to what is best for that occasion. And in order to carry out the commandment, we have to assemble. Well, in order to carry out that particular commandment, we have to act and choose some things, so long as it doesn't violate the commandment that's been given there. And so this is important to understand. For a thing to be expedient or to be able to have a choice, you must choose within what is authorized. And so we look at those and try to understand it. All scriptural expedients are lawful, which is what I've just said. It comes within the realm of the things that are authorized. So 2 John 9-11 says, don't go beyond what is written. If you go beyond what's written, you have neither the Father and the Son. And then you have other passages that help us understand exactly what is being said. So in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we have another scripture to consider. And that is 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith and not by sight. So when you look at Hebrews 11, it talks about those who walk by faith. And they always had a verb of action connected with their faith. They carried out what God told them to do. And then in Romans 14:13, when Paul is talking about the liberties that we have in Christ, in verse 23, he who doubts is condemned if he eats because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not of faith is sin. So we have this understanding then, if I'm going to act, I have to act by faith. But we understand that I have faith only by what is commanded. When you look back, for example, to Cain and Abel, and they offered different sacrifices, what was specified was a sacrifice that had blood with it, because that typified the future sacrifice of Jesus. Cain did not offer that. He offered vegetables. And people said, well, what's the difference? Well, Hebrews 11 says that Abel offered by faith. Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So he did what God told him to do, and Cain did not do what he was told him to do. So Cain's offering was rejected, and then, of course, that displeased him so much he killed his brother. And so we have to understand, first of all, if I'm going to look for expedient ways to do something, first of all, it has to be commanded, and understand that. So we have no assurance that a thing is pleasing to God unless it's authorized in Scripture. And that defines us. That's what we are as a church. We're based upon the New Testament, just like the Jews are based upon the Old Testament, and we're to be able to have the authority for what we believe and practice. So an unlawful thing cannot be expedience. Somebody says, well, I'm going to do this the best way I know how. And so they're going to play an organ. And I've got a good talent to play in an organ, so I'm going to play an organ in worship to God. Well, that's not authorized. And so we have to recognize that unlawful things cannot be expedience. So men are not the source of authority. We don't decide that we're going to do something based upon that. So, for example, there are many women preachers today. And they say, well, I've got a right to do that. Well, no, they don't, because 1 Timothy 2, verse 12 says they're to be under subjection to the man, not to oversee the man. And God picked men to preach. He didn't pick women to preach. Now, there's a place for women in the service of God, but not in preaching and not being elders. And the same thing with David and the ox cart. And people think, well, you know, God was very strict about that because they were bringing the ark to Jerusalem and say, well, that's a good thing. The ark is coming to Jerusalem. And they had it on a brand new cart. They really wanted it to shine and be good and come into Jerusalem with it. But the oxen stumbled, and one of the people that were walking by named Uzzah reached out his hand. He didn't want the ark to hit the ground. He wanted it to be respected and honored. We understand that. But he died. And the reason why he died, David later said, we didn't do it according to the proper order. The law said when the Ark of the Covenant was going to be moved, it had rings on the side, and staves were supposed to be put through the rings, and the priests would carry that on their shoulders. And so they were not doing it right, and so the new cart was not an expedient. It didn't do what was supposed to be done. And you know, we have to think about those to understand God's commandments. You say, well, why was it wrong for them to have this brand new cart? It wasn't authorized. So once we get it drilled into us that we must have things that are authorized first, then we can see the best way to carry that out. And we have other examples of that as well. When God specifies something, then I have no choice. A specific command is a specific command, and I have to obey what He says. Well, in the book of Genesis chapter 6, mankind disappointed God. He regretted that he had made man, and he told Noah to build an ark. And the ark had to be built out of gopher wood. Now, I'm not sure what gopher wood even was, but he understood. He knew what it was, and God specified gopher wood. Well, what you want to look at that, in Hebrews 11 says that Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his house by faith. Well, we look at this. God specified the male lamb of the first year without blemish in the sacrifices. And when God specified that kind of a sacrifice, that's the only sacrifice that they could bring and honor God. But we have other things about this. Expediency involves a right of choice within the realm of that's authorized. For example, we go back to Noah. Noah had to use gopher wood. That was a specific command. But nothing is said about the tools. What kind of tools? Now let me point out that in order for God to be pleased, you have to carry out the command. God's command was build an ark. God's command was build it out of gopher wood. Well, how's he going to build it? Here's expediency. You have to have tools. You have to have somebody to help. Evidently it took them a long time to build that ark. But would it have been right for him to say, well, it's cheaper, you know, cheaper, and I have pine trees and oak trees closer to where the ark is going to be built. Why don't I just use this as an expedient? It'd be easier for me if I use pine or oak. No, because God specified gopher wood. Now, I saw a bulletin years ago when somebody just didn't like that idea. There was a preacher up in the northeast, and he wrote an article about that, and he said, in order to sort of show his disdain for the gopher wood, he said that Noah also built a little bitty boat and tied it with a rope, and he made that little boat out behind the ark out of pine, just to show that he loved God and he wanted to please God. Well, that's so far from what's right and what's wrong. God didn't tell him to put a little boat attachment. He said to build the ark. That gave the dimensions of the ark. And we understand that that's exactly what Noah did. So if you understand Noah building the ark out of gopher wood, which is specified, then you understand expediency here. what kind of tools did he use? Did he have somebody to help him build it? Did his sons help him build that? And there's some freedom that God allows you to choose, but you have to carry out the command. And that's what's so important. Now, we'll make some applications a little bit later. But expedience allows obedience to fulfill the commandment by choosing the best way to obey. And that's when something is authorized, and there are different ways to do it, and you choose the best way that you can to do what God told you to do. So to go beyond what is specified is to add to the commandments of God. For example, God commands singing in the New Testament, Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, and other passages specify singing. Well, somebody said, well, a piano is an expedient, so we'll just use a piano. Well, no, an instrument of music is not an aid in singing, but an additional kind. So you reject the kind of music that God says, and you put in another kind of music, and that violates the commandment. God said to sing. Now, the song books are an aid to singing. How are we all going to sing together? Well, we have song books. I think we might, for example, we sang a song this morning that the tune was different as it was written on that particular page, but we memorized the song, and so we sang the song to a different tune than was what written in the book. Well, it was expedient to go ahead and sing that song. No violation of anything, but it was singing, and that's what the Bible tells us to do very clearly. So God commands immersion, Romans chapter 6, 3 and 4, we're buried with Christ, buried with Christ. And when you have a baptistry, it's an aid to carrying out that command. Go into all the world and baptize people, teaching them. So you have the idea of a commandment to baptize people. Baptize every creature, Mark says. And if you have that understanding, you've got to obey the gospel. You preach the word, somebody responds. Well, can you go to a lake or a pond? I baptize people in stock ponds with mud up to my ankles. I baptize people in the Atlantic Ocean. I baptize people in swimming pools. I baptize people in baptistries. You see, that's an expedient thing. What is the best way? If we ever get a new building, probably it'll have a baptistry in it. Have we added to God's Word? No, because we're going to assemble. Therefore, we have a building that's required, some place to meet. And if we're going to baptize people, it's expedient to have a baptistry close by filled with water so we can obey the commandment. So you can see clearly the difference between adding another kind of something or taking an expedient. So sprinkling, then, is not burial. And that's a substitution to God's command, and therefore it's unlawful. Sprinkling is not the same as a burial. We understand that when we go to the funeral home. We understand that when we go to the cemetery. And we can use this common sense to understand that that's not the same thing. Again, God specified the oversight of elders and be restricted to the local church. Now, of course, we today have the sponsoring church, as was mentioned in class. We have a church that says, we're going to send the gospel to China. And so all you churches, you send us your money. We're going to oversee this work of many churches, and we're going to oversee the work over in China, wherever the gospel is going to be preached. Well, that's a violation of what the elders are supposed to do, because 1 Peter 5 and verse 2 said the elders are to tend the flock of God which is among you. And anyone who knows the history of Catholicism understands that this idea of elders and the elevation of elders to hierarchy, that that's not what the Bible is saying. So I know today that a lot of churches are using the sponsoring church arrangement where one set of elders oversees many churches as they send their money to that one sponsoring church. It's unscriptural. It's not right. And yet people are doing that because they think it's a good work, but they don't have the authority for it. Elders overseeing the members and the money of another church is not lawful, because of 1 Peter 5 and verse 2. And the elders were appointed in every church, Acts 14, verse 23. And so God authorized the church as the organization for preaching the gospel. 1 Timothy 3:15, the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. Ephesians 4 speaks of the church doing what God assigned it to do in preaching and edifying and maturing its members. And so this is something the church is supposed to do, but now what happens is people want to add a missionary society. That is a human organization separate apart from the church. The church funnels its money to the human institution. It does the preaching rather than let the church do the preaching. That brings up the idea of institutionalism. That is where people want businesses to feed off the church treasury so they'll be doing the work that the church ought to be doing. God assigned the church the responsibility of preaching the gospel. And one of the biggest mistakes that Alexander Campbell ever made, he came out of denominationalism, but late in his life he turned a corner and went the wrong direction. He was appointed the president of the American Missionary Society. And churches were giving their money to the human organization that had president, the vice president, the secretary, and treasurer. They were deciding who would preach. They would decide where they would preach. They'd decide how much they were paid to preach. That's what the church can do. So you see, we have to look at a lot of things when we're trying to understand the Bible. Is it okay for an institution? For example, what about a hospital? What about a Church of Christ hospital? It's either Baptist hospitals, they're Catholic hospitals, they're Methodist hospitals. Why doesn't the Church of Christ have a hospital? And people have asked that question. So in other countries, they have started clinics to have a paid doctor, a paid nurse, churches support a clinic, which is no different than building a hospital here in the States. It's not the work of the church to build a hospital. Now, if a member is poor, if a member is needy, and they have to go to the hospital, yes, the church can pay their needs, pay for their needs as benevolence, as helping our needy members. But it doesn't have the authority to build a hospital. So when they start supporting clinics, that's just a step away from starting the idea of a church hospital here in this country. So you can see the difference between an expedient thing. If one of our members is needy and has need, we could call an ambulance, we could put them in the hospital, we could pay for that, because that's an expedient thing to do to carry out the command of helping our needy members. But I can't use a hospital to do that. And so these are things that we need to understand clearly. And when we get down to expediencies, the Bible says that all things must be done to edify. That is, if I use an expediency that splits the church, have I really edified the church? No. But they're what, those are some things that people do. If a thing is a matter of choice, falling in the realm of human judgments, and its practice causes division in the body, then it's sinful. I've just finished a written discussion, which is now up on our website, about one cup or many cups. And when we start talking about the one cup, they mean the one container. And they say it is a sin to use more than one container, as we do here. And so that has been discussed. But the idea is that, like for example, Luke 22 discussed the Lord's Supper. He gave them the cup and said, divide it among yourselves. Well, that requires different kinds of cups. Now, if it really came down to it, a matter of fellowship, and I was in a place somewhere where they only had one container, I would reluctantly drink from it. And I'd like to be first. Because, of course, back when some of this started, we had a lot of snuff-dipping members. And you'd see the snuff running down their cheeks, and you're going to have to drink the Lord's Supper after that. Well, no, I don't want to do that. But if it came down to a case where I really had to do that, I could do that scripturally. I could drink out of one cup. But I made the point in my discussion that the church in Jerusalem had 3,000 members. And then later 5,000 members, and grew to be a multitude. When you read the book of Acts, it talks about the church in Jerusalem. There's just one congregation. They all had, they were together, the Bible says, and had all things in common. And then Acts 15, the church in Jerusalem. So there was only one church in Jerusalem. Sometimes it had as many as 5,000 members. I want to know what container would be big enough to let 5,000 people drink out of it. And so I think the necessary inference is that they had different containers, particularly when it comes down to Luke 22, where Jesus said, divide this among yourselves. But you see, somebody's going to take what is really a liberty and bind that until it splits the church. Now, they were having the same problem in Rome. In Romans 14 and 15, it discusses the idea of meats and drinks. And you had a mixture in the church of Rome of Jews and Gentiles. So the Jews were saying to the Gentiles who worked on the Sabbath day, you're going to go to hell if you don't stop working on the Sabbath day. And then the Gentiles would eat meat that had been sacrificed to idols. And the Jews would say, if you eat that meat, you're going to go to hell. They were binding these things. And what Paul did by inspiration says, both of you are wrong. If you want to eat meat, meat has been sanctified by God. All of it's clean. If you want to not work on the Sabbath day and stay home and study your scripture, you can, but you can't bind that on the Gentiles. And so he was saying, you know, both of you are wrong. Here's what he told them to answer that and to solve the problem. And we don't bind things that would cause people to lose their souls over that. So when God commands something that it must be done, then we're going to do it, even if it divides people, when God specifies something. And so when the church started in Jerusalem, in America, there were no instruments of music. Nobody used instruments of music. But gradually, there were those who listened to their neighbors, and they wanted instrumental music, and they put the music, the instrumental music in, and it divided the church. So if they were saying, well, it's a liberty and expedient, we're going to be able to play organ or piano because it helps the singing, that's wrong because it's a different kind. And we need to recognize that it's wrong if it divides the brethren. So the example of preaching the word in Acts chapter 4, the Pharisees were terribly offended by the apostles preaching that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, that he had risen from the dead. And they told them, you stop preaching that. And they said, we must obey God rather than man in Acts chapter 5. So when God commands something to be done, we have to do it even though it's going to offend somebody. And that's something that we have to look at to understand that. If it's non-essential, that is not commanded, meaning that God has left the choice up to human wisdom, then we demand to enforce that practice on others. It will destroy the unity and peace of God's children, then we sin. For example, in Rome, if one of the Gentiles had bought roast beef down at the market that had been offered as a sacrifice upon the temple to the foreign gods, they understood that an idol is nothing, so we're going to eat the meat. But if they decided, now I'm going to call this Jewish brother in and I'm going to invite him to eat this meat, though it's going to offend his conscience, I'm going to shame him into eating it anyway. See, that's sinful. You don't force a freedom on somebody when you don't need to do that. So for a thing to be expedient, it must not offend the conscience of a brother. And we've already talked about Romans 14. This rule governs only matters of expediency. Whether you eat meat or not is a choice. Whether you observe days or not is a choice. But you can't bind either one of those. So where the liberty of a choice by human wisdom has been permitted, we must not force our way to the offending brother by causing him to violate his conscience and partaking of that which he believes is wrong. Paul said, if offending my brother, eating meats, I'll never eat meat again as long as I live. You don't have to have meat. And so I'm not going to offend the conscience of my brother. But now if he wanted to eat meat at home by himself and his family, you see, that's his liberty, that's his choice. So for a thing to be expedient, it must be lawful. Now, my time's getting away from me, so I want to hurry through this chart and let you look at some of the applications of this. What is specified, what is expedient, and what has no authority? And I can print this out for you later if you'd like to have this further. For an example, we have to assemble. That's a commandment. Well, what's the expedient? Well, the place where we assemble, whether it's rent, own, build, or sit or stand, the time of the day, heat or cool, and we've been both heat and cold in our worship. But it's a failure to assemble is a violation of the command to assemble. Baptize again, Mark 16, Acts 2:38. Where do we baptize? In a baptistry, a river, cold or warm, fresh or salt? Doesn't make any difference. Those are your choices. What's available? What's the most convenient? And sprinkling or pouring, babies, unbelievers, because they say you've been saved, we're going to baptize you. Those things are wrong. That's not authorized. So we have to understand what is authorized, what's allowed as an expedient, and forbear those things that are unscriptural. We're to sing praises, hymns, and spiritual songs. How are we going to do that? By books or by memory? Do we sit while we sing or do we stand? Those are expedients. But mechanical instruments are not authorized. So we make that difference. We lay by in store on the first day of the week. Is it a cash or check? In the basket or a hat? Before or after the sermon? You see, those things are expedients. I understand some churches are using credit cards now. So I don't know that that's the best way, but that's their choice. But now then, if you're going to have a raffle or sell chicken dinners, make investments, see, that's something that's not authorized for the church. Preaching the gospel of Christ, where, when, how? I could preach another sermon right here because there's some people that say you can't have Bible classes. Bible classes are sinful. Well, you can have the Bible being taught, preached or taught, it'd be the same thing. But another doctrine or missionary society is not authorized. Going a little bit further with this, believe the needy. And there are needy saints. The Bible does not authorize the church to help non-Christians. Now, that's another subject. I'll be glad to discuss it with you if you want to understand that. But all the examples in the Bible of contributions from the church to needy people were to saints. We're not the Red Cross or the Salvation Army. So we can give them money or food or provide facilities. But benevolent societies or orphan homes or old folks' homes, those are not expediencies. They stand instead of the church. It's a different kind. The church is to practice the benevolence. And so there was a time back in the 50s and 60s where they were saying, if you'll just send $1 to an orphan home or send $1 to an old folks' home, then you'll be understood as a sound church. But what they've done is bind the contribution from a church to a business, a human business, which is not authorized. The church is not authorized to support human businesses. Now, what about relieving the needy? Well, the church can do that to needy saints, no problem at all. But then you want to bring in the institutions. That's something else. Jesus said, drink this cup, Matthew 26 and Luke 22, on the first day of the week. Is it morning or evening? And we've had some discussion about that. Some people believe it's a sinful thing to have the Lord's Supper at night. And I deny that. I think it's entirely scriptural. If there's someone present in an assembly who's a member and they haven't had the Lord's Supper, I can't restrict them from having that. That's their privilege and their right. Would it be served in one container or many? We've talked about that. But if you're going to have coffee, tea, one church denomination was having Pepsi Cola and cheese crackers on the table. That's not authorized. And so that again is something wrong. We're to teach. They taught the word in 2 Timothy 2. How are we going to do that? In a private home? In a church building? Or just where? Projector or the blackboard or the whiteboard? But under the gospel, another organization like a missionary society, that's wrong. And so, yes, we can preach the word, and there are expediences on how best to do that. For example, we're using a website. Now, there was no website back in the days of the apostles. But we're not adding another kind of doctrine. We're teaching the Word of God through the medium of the internet and through whatever else. Support of the preacher, the laborer is worthy of support. How is it given? Back in the days of J.D. Tant, they often gave him chickens and something of that nature, maybe even a pig. They at least supported the preacher in some way. But to refuse to support or beg to get public donations, that's another kind of contribution. The jurisdiction of elders is the local church. How they oversee the church, the number and the frequency of meetings and the teaching and the doctrine that's being taught, that's also so right. But one elder over the oversight of other members of another church is sinful. That's not authorized. But the sponsoring church is being really practiced by a lot of churches today. Now my time is about gone. Talking about expediency. The right of choice within the realm of that which is authorized by the New Testament and is not a course of authority within itself. I can't say, well, I think it's expedience that I preach from the Baptist Creed book. No, that's not authorized. We see that's not good. And so we learn what is authorized and what we have to do within what is authorized to get the job done. And that is called the expedience. And I hope that helps you understand something about that. I don't know if I've ever preached a full sermon on expediency before, but that's something we have to learn and understand, and I hope it's been plain for you today.